Let's open our Bibles this morning once again to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read the passage once again that's found in verses 17 to 32. Familiar passages, and we read them last week, but in these passages we find the practical instructions of the Word of God for how we as the children of God are to conduct ourselves in this present world. And as we mentioned, several of the saints from the congregation here are nearing the end of their race, and we think about the many that have been a part of this assembly over the years and have already gone on to be with the Lord. And when it's all said and done, this life is but a vapor, the Bible tells us and experience tells us. It's here for a short while and then it's gone. And only what we do in the light of eternity is going to have any value. We get so busy with life and all the responsibilities that there are, and in and of themselves, certainly not sin, but we can allow them to distract us and to focus only on the now and to neglect the things that are going to prepare us for eternity. But we prepare for eternity by conducting ourselves, by walking worthy, as this chapter 4 tells us, walking worthy of our calling, walking worthy as children of God. And only as we focus on these details and allow the Word of God to govern who we are and how we conduct ourselves, those are the things that are going to have an impact for eternity. Everything else is going to pass away. All these other things that sometimes seem so important that we neglect the spiritual and eternal things, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. But as we read these again and focus on our attention on these instructions for our life, and then daily look to the Holy Spirit to give us the strength and the wisdom to put on Christ as we read in these instructions. So let's read verses 17 to 32 of Ephesians chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, our thinking is to change. It's to be different from what it was before we were saved, and different from what the world still thinks, because they only have that one nature. We're to be different. And sometimes that's what's so difficult for us, is being different, because we know the human nature. Being different, when someone's different, they kind of stick out and they kind of become a target to be picked on, don't they? It happens in school. It happens at the workplace. And so sometimes we shy away from being different. And so we try to blend in a little more by talking like the rest of the world, using their vocabulary, which just seems to get more vile every day. They have a few words that they use over and over again, and they're vile. And yet, Christians tend to want to blend in, and so they imitate them. We need to be glad that we're different. I'm glad I'm not like the world, because I have a hope. And my difference in this life, now, my hope is of a future glory. But because that hope is real, I have hope right now. And the differences that God wants me to incorporate into my life, develop in my life, are the very things that are going to cause me to enjoy this life to its fullest. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there's persecution. Yes, all that's true. But that does not overshadow or overwhelm joy and peace, knowing that I'm in the hands of God. Knowing that my future is secure. Knowing that my eternity is secure. But the reality is we have, every day we have choices we need to make about how we respond to every situation and every circumstance. This is what this passage is all about. It's about choices. Choosing what to put on. Choosing how we are going to respond to every circumstance and every situation. The lifestyle that we're going to choose. God's people are to be a people of principle, not emotion. It doesn't mean that we're not emotional. Nothing sinful about emotions. God gave those to us. But that's not how we make our decisions about what we're going to do and what we're going to say. We make our decisions based on what the Word of God says to be right, righteousness and holiness, to be what's true, what honors the Lord. That's what principle is all about. We are to be a people of principle. I do what I do. I say what I say. I associate with whom I associate, because this is the principle that God has laid down for me and for my life. We are to be a people of faith. I believe that God's ways are best. I believe it. He says it is. I trust him. A people of faith. A people of revelation. God has revealed so many things to be true in his word. We need to walk in the light of that revelation, in the light of what Paul is telling us here in these practical applications that we'll look at in detail. I want to focus in on some of these specific changes. Paul makes some contrasts here about this is the old conduct and this is the new conduct. We need to know both of them so that we recognize the filthy rags of the flesh and we recognize the righteousness of the life of Christ. We need to know what's true, so I'm going to put that on instead of that. We are to be imitators of Christ. And yet so many of God's people are characterized by all the old conducts of the old man. But why? And there are those that, as I mentioned, I believe last week, that believe that we're saved by grace and eternally saved, as the Bible tells us. But they believe that that grace gives them a license to live like the world. How foolish is that? Why would we say that the grace of God gives us license to live like the mindless, blind unbelievers? Why would we want to be like those that are dead in trespasses and sins? I've been made alive. I have life and power and strength and energy to live for the glory of God, to throw off the bondage of sin and carnality, which only leads to death and sorrow and destruction. Why would I want to be futile in my thinking like the world, ignorant, blind? I'm a son of God. I've been brought into the light. Now I need to walk in the light, understand the purpose with which we've been born. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 14. Instead of being futile in our thinking, we need to have a sound mind. This term that we're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 7 to 14, it means to have a disciplined mind, one that's trained. And you can't have a disciplined mind unless you have sound instruction. We use the term, Paul uses the term, sound doctrine. And some people, they think, oh, you know, you're just stuck on that term, sound doctrine. Well, I hope I am stuck on it. Because that sound instruction from the Word of God is what's going to discipline my mind to think like God wants me to think. And so Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity." I'm afraid, I'm timid of being different. No, God didn't give you that spirit. "But of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you when you yield to the Spirit. It won't make you timid to be a Christian and live like a Christian. It'll give you the power to live like a Christian. It'll give you the ability to be a channel of the love of God, even to those who persecute you. You'll be able to seek their eternal best interest, whether they receive it or not. That's between them and God. But you'll have power to be that instrument of the love of God. But notice the last part, a sound, disciplined mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, Paul wrote Timothy, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Notice the plan of redemption from before the world began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We don't fear that end of the race that we mentioned that several are facing, and many have already faced and gone through that dark valley, because Jesus brought to light the truth of life and immortality through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 11, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. What have you committed to him? We are to commit, obviously, our eternal destiny, but have you committed your daily life to him as well? He's able to keep it, guard it, cause it to be everything it needs to be. But verse 13, hold fast the pattern of what kind of words? Sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing, that body of truth, that sound doctrine that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That's how we renew our mind. That's how we discipline our mind, is with the revelation of the will of God as revealed to the Apostle Paul. When we truly receive and believe sound doctrine, you know what it will produce? Sound living. When we have a disciplined mind, we will live a disciplined life. But this is the problem with many of God's people. They're ignorant of God's instruction, or they may know it, but they don't care. They don't really believe that it matters. God says it matters. Sound doctrine will lead to sound living when it's received. And this is why Paul goes on to say, put off the former conduct of the old man, that old nature. We are to take off that old conduct, just like Lazarus threw off those filthy grave clothes when Jesus gave him life, so that he could live that life. Now we are to be able to live the life that God gave us through his grace, but we're to throw off that old conduct, to put on the new man, put on the conduct that is according to Christ, according to the sound instruction that we have in the Word of God. Romans chapter 13, Paul uses this analogy again of putting off some things and putting on some things. Now, if this was automatic when you became a Christian, that you're automatically always going to do and say what you're supposed to, these instructions would be pointless, wouldn't they? A lot of people think that, well, yeah, when you get saved, you're automatically going to do and say everything you're supposed to. And if you don't, then you probably weren't ever saved in the first place, or you lost it. That's where a lot of those false doctrines come. You were never saved because you act like that, or you were probably saved, but you lost it. No, this is how we understand and discipline our mind when we read God's instruction. A child of God is forever a child of God. And that child of God, every believer, has the ability to make the right choice and has the ability to make the choice. But we have to make it still. It's an ongoing walk of faith. We have faith to believe that Jesus paid the debt of our sin once for all. That's an act of faith. But to live daily as a child of God, you've got to still live by faith. Because I'm a child of God, I can make the choice to put on Christ. Romans 13:11. and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Know what those are. We're going to read about some of those. Cast those off and let us put on the armor of light, those things that are going to protect us from loss of reward, from pain and suffering that we don't need to suffer. That armor of light will protect you, but you got to put it on. Let us, choice, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We can still provide for the covetousness of our own selfish carnal desires by doing the things and going to the places that are going to encourage the conduct of the flesh rather than encourage and develop the virtues of Christ in us. The choice that you made to be here this morning, that was a choice for you to be edified spiritually, to be built up, to learn more of the Word of God, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. That was a good choice that you made. It's a choice that few of God's people are making. But this is what's going to prepare us for life and for eternity. What could be more plain? Put off these things and put on these things. Be different and be glad you're different. Every day in every situation, we'll need to make these choices. Let us do these things. Choose to do those things. Paul says, therefore, in our Ephesians 4 passage, because we are the children of God, because we haven't learned Christ to be like the way of the world, the ways of Christ are not the ways of the world. You haven't learned that from Christ. Therefore, Paul begins a list now to contrast things that we need to put off and things that we need to put on. It's a simple list and one that you might say, well, you know, Brother Doug, we know that. Well, do we? Do we know it in every situation? Do we know why we put it off? No, I'm not going to do that. Well, let's start with the first one, lying. Now, we all know lying's wrong, right? Who here has never lied? Put off lying. What is lie? What is a lie? Let's break it down here. A lie is the willful contradiction of truth with the intent to deceive another, usually for your own benefit, either to protect yourself, what you think is protection, or to profit yourself from that lie. Lying sometimes is done with a desire to harm someone. You don't like them. You want to bring them harm, so you tell a lie about them. We are to put off. That's one of the conducts of the flesh that we are to put off. Now, I want us to get down to the nitty-gritty here, because we have a tendency to justify our lies. Well, Brother Doug, you don't know the situation. You're right, I don't, but I do know what God says to be true and right. We are to put off lying. And that's whether we are talking about a Christian young person, child. This is why our children need to be brought up in the Word of God, because they're learning things and conducts right now. The world's going to tell them. I always just cringe when some Christian says, well, you know, I was made to go to church and I was just miserable, and I'm not going to do that to my kids, so I'm not going to make them go to church. I'll let them make their own choice. Well, if you do that, you've already made a choice for them, because the world will teach them their ways. The only way they're going to know the ways of the Lord is if you raise them in the fear of the Lord. All said and done, they will have to make their decision, because they have seen the fear of the Lord if they've been raised in the fear of the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, they'll see the ways of the world sooner or later. I mean, you can protect them as much as you can, but they're going to know how the world lives and how the world wants you to live too. If you really want to give them a choice, you raise them in the fear of the Lord. Then they'll have what they need to make their choice. And they will be accountable for those choices as an adult. But you're accountable as a parent to raise them in the fear of the Lord. But young people, children, it's so easy to tell a lie to get it out of a spanking, out of losing privileges. But as a child of God, you're told to put off lying. We make mistakes. Don't lie to cover them up. Take the punishment, learn from it, and move on. So that's where it starts, in childhood. That's how we teach our children. And it's interesting. You don't have to teach a child to lie. It's just automatic. The flesh is the flesh. But you do have to teach them that's not appropriate for who you are. And this is assuming that as a child they accept the Lord. They now have the ability not to lie. Teach them. What about us grown-ups? Do we ever lie to get out of trouble, save ourselves some penalty, some taxes, at work? Put off lying. There's no justification for it as a child of God. John 8, verse 4 to 4. You know why the lying isn't appropriate for a child of God? Well, let's read why. John 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you see why a child of God needs to not lie? Because that very power to lie comes from Satan himself. And you say, oh, you're getting a little strong here. Well, am I getting any stronger than the Word of God? Satan is the father of lies. He's the source of it. Why do you want to participate in what he's handing out? Put it off. I don't want to associate with the devil. I want to associate with my father. He can't lie. I want to be like my father. Now, we understand that we all misspeak and we all say things that aren't true. That's not necessarily a lie. It's when you know what the truth is and you purposely choose to contradict it for selfish motives. That's a lie. When we find out that we've misspoken or said something that's not true, we acknowledge it and we go on. But let's put off lying. The vileness of lying is multiplied when we lie to fellow Christians. We're one in Christ. Let's put it off. Again, sometimes to tell the truth, there are going to be consequences. But that's when we trust our Father. He said to tell the truth is appropriate. That means he's going to use my speaking the truth for my eternal good and for his eternal glory. I have to trust him. Even if that means in the moment I'm going to have to suffer some things. Put away lying. Speak the truth with one another. I think we'll stop there. That'll give us plenty to think about this week. Lord willing, we're going to look at anger next week. Let's have a song in closing, Phil.